Scripture reading today is from John chapter 15, verses 1 to 17. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command: love each other.
Thank you, Jason. The Lord be with you. And so, Father, we come before you this morning with hearts full of praise, knowing that you, O Lord Jesus, are our creator, our sustainer. And so, Lord God, we come before you this morning now just asking you to prepare our hearts and our minds to receive from you, Lord God. These words of yours, O Lord God, are life-giving, and I pray, O Lord Jesus, that you would transform us and change us, even as we hear your words this morning. We thank you, God. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. For the first 52 years of my life, I had no interest in plants or in gardening whatsoever. And whatever plants I did try to look after would eventually be neglected and died a quick and slow death. How many of you are in the same situation as me? How many of you are not good with plants? Yeah, okay, great. Thank you for making me feel better. Since the beginning of this year, something changed in me. Not only did I take up indoor gardening, but I've been totally intrigued and immersed in plants of all sorts. First, I started with terrariums, and I was fascinated with the different types of tropical plants, all the different varieties that they are. I bought a few of these glass globes, and I started to plant one terrarium after another. I made them not only for myself, I actually made quite a few of them to give away to people, to friends, and to people that I know. Then I got fascinated with air plants and learned to care for them. Now, I'm into succulents. I spent my day off on Mondays for the last many months now, learning everything that there is to know about them, as well as growing them, propagating them, reproducing them, that is. And so it's gone from not having any plants at all in our home for the last many years to now what Deb says is getting out of control. It's getting out of hand. They're all legal, okay? Everything I'm planting. But I do believe, brothers and sisters, that in all this, God is showing me his ways. I believe that God is showing me his ways. He's revealing to me what we, as a church, need to do in order to be the church that Christ wants us to be. And I talked about this before, you know, and we're talking about what it means to be the church. Being a church means being, as we've been mentioning, being a people of worship. Being a church means being a caring and loving people. Being the church means being a Christ-like and transforming people. Being the church means being a called out and sent people. That Elder Paul preached on last week. He also quoted a famous person, to be or not to be. And I do believe we need to struggle with that question. Fraser Lance, do we want to be the church? Do you really want to be the church in this community? And as we start out being a church on our own, what kind of church do you want to be? How do you want to be used by the Lord? That question lingers in our minds and in my mind. Do we really want to be the church that God wants us to be? If so, we need to believe. If so, we need to belong. If so, we need to become. And if so, we need to be sent. Today, I want to just finish off our series on what it means to be the church by adding one more thing. In order to focus on being the church, we need to be a connecting people. I really do believe that. We need to be a connected people. In the passage that Jason read to us just earlier, we can see that there are two things that we must do if we're to be the church. First, we need to be connected to the community of believers. We cannot be the church on our own. We need to be connected to each other in love. Now, Jesus said in John chapter 15, verse 12, love each other as I have loved you. Love each other as I have loved you. And then in John 13, verse 34, he says, a new commandment I give you, love one another as I've loved you. So you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Brothers and sisters, this is the trademark of the church. This is the defining features of the people of God. This is what characterizes Christ's disciples. This is who we are to be, connected to each other in love. Today, actually, I'm not going to spend much time talking about this at all. I do believe that this is a very, very important subject, and we will, after our Easter series, go back to this and not only spend one Sunday on it, we're going to spend three Sundays on what this looks like. So I want to dedicate that time fully to talking about what it means to be connected to each other in love at that time. Second, from this passage, I can see that as the church, we are to be connected to Christ in bearing fruit. Connected to Christ in bearing fruit. Or if you will, connected to Christ in becoming disciples. Now, since I've started ministry about 11 years ago now, I struggle daily. I struggle daily with trying to be effective. What could I ever do to influence our world for Christ? What could our church ever do to influence our world for Christ? I want to read to you this quote from Henry Nouwen. He says in The Way of the Heart, it seems that the darkness is thicker than ever, that the powers of evil are more blatantly visible than ever, and that the children of God are being tested more severely than ever. During the last few years, I've been wondering what it means to be a minister in such a situation. what is required of men and women who want to bring light into darkness, to bring good news to the poor, to proclaim liberty to captives and to the blind new sight, to set the downtrodden free, to proclaim the year of favor, to proclaim the Lord's year of favor. What is required of a man or woman who is called to enter fully into the turmoil and agony of the times and speak a word of hope? Many of us adapted ourselves too well to the general mood of lethargy. Others amongst us are tired, exhausted, disappointed, bitter, resentful, or simply bored. Still others have remained active and involved, but have ended up living more in their own name than in the name of Jesus. How can we expect to remain full of creative vitality, of zeal for the word of God, of desire to serve, and of motivation to inspire our often numbed congregations? Where are we supposed to find nurture and strength? How can we alleviate our own spiritual hunger and thirst? Nouwen writes, I believe that we all feel that way sometimes, don't we? We feel that we don't have the strength or the ability to carry on where God has placed us. You know, whether it be in the workplace, whether it be in our homes, with our families, or even in the church. Jesus said in John 15, verses 4 to 5, in the passage in front of you, remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. You see, if a branch remains in the vine, if a branch is connected to the vine, fruit is inevitable. It is inevitable. It will take place. But if it doesn't, fruit is impossible. It will not take place. No matter how hard we try, no matter how hard we work, we cannot produce fruit on our own. We cannot be effective as a believer. We cannot be effective as a church. Phraselands Church will not make an impact whatsoever in this community. It will not make an impact whatsoever in this city if we're not connected to Christ. Jesus is very clear on this. The role of the branch is very simple. To remain and to stay connected to the vine. You see, nutrients in the water flow from the soil into the roots of the vine. They travel into the vine and are carried to every branch and into every leaf. There's an unceasing flow of life from the vine to the branch. It never ends. We need to stay connected to that source of life, to Christ, so that we're constantly receiving from him, whether it be his strength, whether it be his empowerment, whether it be his wisdom, his discernment, whether it be encouragement, or whether it just be rest, just resting in the Lord, whether it be love, joy, peace that the Bible talks about. So with one of my plants, I did this just a couple weeks ago. I took some of the branches from the plant on the right, and I cut it off the vine, and I stuck those branches into the soil on the pot to the left. And after a couple days, this is what it looked like. After a couple more days, this is what it looked like. After a few more days, and a few more days, and a few more days, and after 2 weeks, this is what it looked like. But the branches that remained in the vine, they continued to grow. They continued to flourish. They continued to bear fruit. We're connected to Christ if we are to bear fruit. But, we need to choose to stay connected. We need to choose to stay connected. Now, will you choose to remain in the vine? You and I need to make that choice every day of our lives. Jesus emphasizes this by using a very simple two-letter word over and over again in this passage. He says in verses 5, 6, 7, and 10. In verse 5, he says, "If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit." Verse 6, "If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers." Verse 7, "If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish." Verse 10, "If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love." Have we made, brothers and sisters, a conscious decision in our lives to remain in Christ, to stay connected to Christ, to have total dependence upon Jesus, just as the branch is totally dependent upon the vine? You know, it doesn't just happen. Believe me, it doesn't just happen. We live in a world that's always pulling us away from this. Our lives can get so busy. We just don't have time to remain in, to abide in, to live with, and to stay connected to Christ. We're so busy with many things. Just recall what you did this last week. We're so busy with so many things, even church-related things, that we don't have time to stay connected to Christ. I believe it's a scheme of the enemy to get our lives so busy such that he keeps us from really, truly living fruitful lives for the Lord. He's convinced us that the busier we are, the more important we are. You know, nowadays, when I get up in the morning, I would often go downstairs and look at my plants, only to see that they have not grown much since last night. And although I stare at it, and I stare at it, it's not going to grow any quicker. Just as it takes time to grow a plant and to have it bear fruit, so it will take time to become a disciple and to bear fruit. There are no shortcuts in this, brothers and sisters. And now some of you may be thinking, to be connected to Jesus means having a continuous Bible study all day long, or to be in silence 24/7, like that of a monk or a nun. So you feel that you could never do this in your life, that you have to wait until you finish school, or that your jobs get less busy, or that your children are all grown up, or even wait till retirement. But to remain and to stay connected to Christ really simply means that to stay in an intimate, living, unbroken relationship with Christ by experiencing his daily, his hourly, his continuing presence in your lives. That's all it means. To be in an intimate, living, unbroken relationship with Christ by experiencing his daily, continuing presence in our lives. That's what it means to remain in Christ. And as you get into those situations in which you need to ask for his leading, ask for his guidance, you ask him for it. You know, have you been there before? You know, your day gets so busy and there's so many things that need to be done, there's so many issues that you need to deal with, so many things that you need to figure out what to do and have questions on. Now, in that moment, just stop. Just stop. Pull away from what you're doing, even just for a few minutes, and to connect or to reconnect with the Lord throughout your day, and to listen to His promptings for you, to listen where He wants you to do in those particular situations of life, of work. And then when He does answer your prayer, again, just stop just for a moment and give praise and honor to the Lord Himself who has heard your prayer. And as you do this, brothers and sisters, His life will flow through you and in you. And though no one else will see it, it will change that way that you see things. It will change the way that you speak. It will change the way that you think. It will change the way that you treat other people as God's fruit is being born in you. So consciously choose to live in Christ's presence. Choosing to go about the different activities of your day without ever leaving His presence. And secondly, I think we need to allow God to prune us. We need to allow God to prune us. Jesus says in this passage, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. Every branch in me that is not bearing fruit, He cuts it off. And every branch that is bearing fruit, He cuts it back." That is, He prunes so that it may even bear more fruit. We're not bearing fruit. If we're not being real in our relationship with God, if we're just faking it, we'll be cut off. But if we are being real, if we do have a faithful relationship with Christ, and we're being a faithful Christian to the best we can, and if we are bearing fruit, we'll be cut back and pruned. Jesus says, that is, we'll be purified and we will be purged. Now, cutting back and pruning is actually not a painless process. It will hurt. And it may even seem counterproductive. But we're told by many expert gardeners and farmers and all that, that the seemingly backward and harsh process is actually good and fruitful for the plant. An example of this is the rich young ruler. And Jesus says to him in Matthew 19, "Sell your possessions and give to the poor, then come and follow me." Now, Jesus said this because He saw the fruitful life that this rich young ruler could have if only he loosened his hold, he loosened his grip on wealth, and uncluttered his life. Now, for us, it may be our desires in life that God is trying to prune. It may be our striving for more and more. It may be unhealthy habits that we've formed, the pastimes, our recreational times that we get involved with. It could be our sinful behaviors, our pride, our lust, our envy. It could be seeking the praises of men, of people, rather than God. Or it could be our finances, our checkbook. Did you know that our Lord's deepest pruning came at the cross? His deepest pruning came at the cross. And we're told that as Christ's disciples, we'll also have our own crosses to bear. We'll also have our own prunings in our lives. A theologian once said, "The tree that was planted on Calvary has shoots going out into all the world." The tree that was planted on Calvary, which is the cross of Jesus Christ, has shoots growing out into all the world. We too, as Christ's disciples, will bear much fruit as he prunes us and as we bear our crosses for him. Now, it would be great. It would be great if we could be pruned and get it all over with once and for all. But I don't think that's the case. As we will undergo pruning again and again and again, if we're to be a fruitful branch for the Lord. So brothers and sisters, what is it that the Lord may be pruning you of in your life these days? And thirdly, we remain in God's word. That is, we feed on God's word. Verses 7 to 8 in our passage says, "If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." You see, branches become fruitful as we feed on the vine grower's words. You know, if we want to remain in and to stay connected to Christ, we will need to immerse ourselves in Scripture. And it's not just a matter of studying them in order to know more facts, know more information, but we will need to feed on God's word. How do we feed on God's word? How do we feed on God's word such that it remains in us? Well, God's word remains in us as we receive it into our lives, as we receive it into our lives. You know, to listen to it, to accept it with a humble heart, to receive it with a receptive spirit, to allow it to take roots, in our lives, to believe in the authority of God's word, and then to submit to it. Secondly, God's word remains in us as we reflect upon it. We meditate on it. We think about it. When King David in Psalm 119 said, "Oh, how I love your law. I meditate on it all day long." We reflect and meditate. That's how God's word remains in us and feeds us. God's word also remains in us as we remember it. You know, in my men's group, my men's discipleship group that we have every week, we made it a point to memorize Scripture. And I must say, it's something I look forward to doing every week when I get together with those guys. There's nothing like five macho guys coming together, not me, the other four, and memorizing Scripture. And we're going through what it means to be a leader with Christ-like qualities, with godly qualities. And so what it means to be holy. And so we memorized 1 Peter 1, 14 to 19. You know, as obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires that you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, "Be holy because I am holy," says the Lord. Since you call on the Father who judges each person's work impartially, live out your time as foreigners here in reverent fear. For you know it is not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you by your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. So those words remain in us as we remember that together. You know, the reason I tell you this is because it has made an impact on our lives. I really do. And it's funny too, right? We come together each week, right? And before we start our study, we do these memory verses. We're up to our sixth or seventh one now. And I can see some of the guys, especially one, I won't mention who he is. He's always taking his book. So we could do some chit-chatting in the beginning, right? How's your day? How'd your week go? And then one of the guys, he's never fully focused because he's always checking his memory verses in his book, right? And it brings joy to my heart because I know he's doing something that is going to be beneficial to him. You know, we learn what it means to be living a habitual life, to having a life in which we are disciplined in the Lord. And so we memorize 1 Corinthians 9, 24 to 27. Do you not know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave so that after I've preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. Now, these are words, again, that remain in us as we go through our day, as we go through our week. We learn what it means to be humble people as leaders of Christ. Matthew 7, 1-5 addresses that. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the speck in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there's a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite. First, take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Again, these are words of Christ that remain in us as we memorize it, as we remember it. Guys, you can correct me on Wednesday what I did wrong. And lastly, God's word remains in us, and we feed on God's word as we realize it. As we realize it. To recognize the truth in God's word and how God's truth applies to our lives. To not just know doctrine, but to live it out day by day. These are some ways in which we can allow God's word to remain in us and that we can feed on his word. Jesus said in John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Let's pray together, shall we? So, Lord God, we come before you, knowing that you are the author of life. You are the perfecter of our faith. You're the one who continues to remain with your people. And so, Lord God, our desire this morning as your church, as the church of Jesus Christ, as disciples of Christ, is to remain in you, to stay connected to you throughout the various things that we experience and do during the day. Oh, Lord God, this is our prayer this morning, that you will strengthen us in order to do so, that you will fill our lives with your hope and with your spirit, that we, oh, Lord God, would continue to be someone who relies on you, to cling to you, to just do a very simple thing, to just stay near to you, to stay near to the vine in which we as branches grow. We thank you, God. Help us as the church now to live this out in our lives this week. Help us, O Lord Jesus, for we are weak and we are in need of your spirit and your empowering. We thank you, God. We commit ourselves to you in this way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.